We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast Fiesta Bowl Flashback Edition, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Well, hi, everybody. John Warren back once again, along with Mike Parker, for this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast Fiesta Bowl Flashback, brought to you by On Point Community Credit Union. Today's program, featuring Marty Maurer, tight end on that 2000 Fiesta Bowl team, is brought to you by Lacrosse Boots. Beaver fans, when you need a pair of boots for that rainy Oregon weather, choose a boot done right. Lacrosse Boots, done right since 1897. We'd also like to send a special thank you to your local Toyota dealers for sponsoring this podcast and making it possible. Outside of helping bring this podcast to life, Toyota has created a special rewards program just for Beaver fans. Win exclusive memorabilia and Fiesta Bowl swag throughout the year, along with getting an OSU premium giveaway in the mail each time you bring your car in to get serviced. To register for the program, visit osubeavers.com/Toyota-rewards-program. Again, special thank you to Toyota for sponsoring today's podcast. Here's our conversation we had with Marty Maurer, former tight end with the Oregon State Beaver football program.
Marty, let's start first with what's going on now, because there's so many things we want to talk about from 20 years ago. We're coming up on UCLA week, which had a game full of amazing plays when we look back at it. But bring us up to date. What have you been doing? What's happening with you now?
Well, I live down in Medford, Oregon. I got twin boys that are just starting high school and a daughter in fourth grade there. And, you know, it's been pretty tough for us down here with the wildfires that ravaged a lot of our neighborhoods and stuff. So as a community, there's a lot of need and a lot of people hurting and just trying to put things back together after that.
Marty, how is that effort going? We had Bill Rao on the show recently talking about relief efforts he was involved with. He said right in his neighborhood, three or four houses on the street he lived burned completely down. What about in your own part of the neighborhood? What did you experience, and what is still going on in the cleanup efforts?
Yeah, you know, Mike, it's one of those things that I'm conflicted on how my feelings were, because you're watching the fire come down I-5 and the wind's blowing right towards your house. And I was sitting up on top of the mountain with my spotting scope, watching it, talking to my wife, saying, have everything packed. Should we go? It's a few miles away. You know, you feel relief as the wind shifts and goes away from your home. But then you see the destruction as it tears through entire neighborhoods. I mean, we're talking, we had 7 or 8 manufactured home parks of 300-plus units completely gone. I mean, decimated. There's not a building standing. The steel's twisted. So you have a lot of people just displaced, you know, trying to find rentals for 3,000, 4,000 people that lost their homes, you know, even if they're available. You know, it's just a lot of need and a lot of destruction, and it's pretty sad.
Marty, it's John with Mike. Do you feel like that the community is getting a little bit of footing now after this?
Yeah, it is, you know, and just stories. It's just those heartbreaking stories, you know, every day. You feel like you want to go do so much for so many people, and where do you start? You hear stories all the time. I mean, I hear people stepping up, you know, on there. It's just, you know, how are you going to put it back together? Not every person had fire insurance. Some of those homes were 40, 50 years old. You know, so it's just, we'll see as it goes. You get into the winter months, we just hope that, you know, as a community, we can find places for people to be and shelter and warmth and things before the weather turns. And then, you know, the rebuild effort. But, yeah, it's going to be years till this thing gets put back together.
Well, it's amazing when you describe how you've got, you know, a couple of high school age kids and a fourth grader. And it's hard to think that way because time goes by so fast. But what did you do then when your career ended at Oregon State? What line of work did you go in, and did you get any options or any feels from pro football?
Well, you know, for me, I had a couple opportunities, one with San Diego, one with New York. But I had 3 knee injuries in my last 4 years of playing football, including, you know, college. It, you know, that's one where, you know, they always make a term, you can't make the club in the tub. You know, so if you can't be on the field to be seen, you're not going to be around long on there. After that, I own a construction company down here. With that, and just started going to work and, you know, trying to move on.
Marty, how do you feel physically today? And just in terms of even that a long time ago when you were playing, you mentioned the knee injuries. Do you feel the football and the hits and all of that in your bones every day when you roll out of bed?
Oh, absolutely, Mike. You know, you do feel that stuff, but knows nothing sad. I mean, every year when the day goes by, you know, I played my high school football in the state of Oregon, played my college football in the state of Oregon. And there's not a week that goes by that I don't run into somebody that remembers me or recognizes me from those days. And, you know, I wouldn't trade the aches and pains for the memories and what we were able to accomplish for anything.
Let's jump into it then, Marty, on that. Not a week goes by, whether it's high school or the memories, particularly of 2000. So give us an example of what that season, if you don't mind, I mean, sort of what it's meant to you through the years. We're on 20 years now, but the types of conversations you'll have with people who will pick out a particular moment or game or thank you for being part of that team. How has that resonated these past 2 decades?
Well, you know, one of those things, if you look back, like when we first got there, I mean, it was, I think, 26 years of losing. And then we put 2 more years on that streak, you know, freshman, sophomore year, until we went to the first Hawaii Bowl, you know, game there. And, you know, to see grown men crying in the stadium, I didn't really understand it as a 21-year-old looking over there going, why is he crying? You know, because it's been so long, and you saw a fan base that cared so much that showed up during, you know, times that the football wasn't very good. To have a little bit of jubilation and joy and to see some success turn around, that was great. And then, of course, the 11-1 season, you know, to be a part of, you know, get 11 wins and most wins in school history and, you know, go down there to the Fiesta Bowl on a stage that, you know, they weren't sure how our team would travel. There were still some skeptics out there, so they threw Notre Dame in against us because they knew that they'd travel well. And then, you know, just to happily put a thumping on them, you know, that's a good feeling to say, you guys have overlooked us for a long time. There, and it was some good memories that we were able to, you know, put a positive spin on Oregon State football and leave it better than when we got there.
The Beaver Sports Podcast, Fiesta Bowl Flashback Edition, will continue in just a bit. Want to remind you that Willamette Valley Vineyards is a proud sponsor of this podcast. Beaver fans, have you joined the Game Day Wine Club created by Willamette Valley Vineyards? Members receive special benefits, and portions of the sales go to support the Fermentation Science Program at OSU. Sign up today during this Fiesta Bowl Flashback edition of the podcast at wvv.com/gameday. And, of course, our feature sponsor, On Point Community Credit Union, providing our local communities with the banking and lending solutions they need to get ahead. On Point is a proud sponsor of the Oregon State Athletic Podcast, federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Well, Marty, you were part of the transition then with Coach from Coach Riley to Dennis. You had a huge moment in Dennis's first game, the bootleg that Jonathan threw to you. You go 74 rumbling in down at Mackey Stadium to put the Beavers in the lead, and you go on to win that opener under Dennis to get things rolling. But what do you remember about the transition, Marty, from so close in 98, the big win in the Civil War game, but then what you sensed when Dennis got there and how the culture, the mood, whatever else, just some of the things you recall from his arrival?
Why you got to throw Rumble in there, Mike? I mean, rumbling down?
Jonathan.
Seriously?
That's,
I mean,
Jonathan's word.
I've never been caught from behind. You can go look at the throw. I've never been caught from behind. The transition from Mike to Dennis, you know, it was just different. You know, Coach Erickson has a little bit different swag. You know, there was an edginess to the players. There was an expectation. I remember he brought me into his office that first spring ball. And he goes, well, Mauer, he goes, you're the best tight end we got here. Kind of sat up in the chair feeling pretty good. And he goes, but I wouldn't be too proud about that. He goes, I can get five receivers every year out of L.A. that are better than you. And he goes, you got 15 practices to prove that Oregon State should still have a tight end, or I'm going to eliminate the position. You're going home, and we'll play five wides. You know, that fear, that edge, that he goes, and then after the 15 practices, he goes, well, you did enough. We'll give you a chance in fall camp. You know, and there's similar stories guys have said over the time that, you know, gets the best out of you, gets that fire going, you know, so that transition was a big deal, you know, onto the play at Nevada, you know, on there. You know, I was fortunate enough to play with, you know, two Hall of Fame wide receivers, probably the best or one of the best running backs in Pac-12 history. You know, so anytime my number was called, you know, nobody was really paying attention to me. It's just make a play and, you know, don't mess it up on there. And that was the type of talent that Coach had around, was a lot of speed, a lot of playmakers, and a lot of multiple options to attack a defense.
Marty, how did you respond when you're sitting in the chair and your coach says that to you? How did that make you feel, and did that change over the course of the year?
Oh, that was immediately, I'm not going home. It was like, there's no way I'm getting sent home and everybody's going to hear that I'm the reason that Oregon State football no longer has a tight end. Jeez. It was like, I better pick it up and do something.
Was that just his way of motivating you, or was he thinking about getting rid of the tight end?
Well, who really knows? But, I mean, from a factor, it lit a fire under me. You know, it was like, hey, don't be sitting, you know, and that was, I think that was a lot of the things at Oregon State before that. That attitude was like, oh, I'm the starter. You know, and his point was, you're not good enough. I don't care if you're the best player here. This isn't good enough to win. And, you know, Coach Erickson's pedigree coming from the pros, coming from Miami, what he did there. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been, Washington State, Wyoming, all those schools that he's been at, you know, and that he came through. And for him to say, you guys got to get up to this level, you know, it's hard. You don't really know that. But he started pushing, going, okay, this is looking a little better. Keep going. I remember in fall camp during that Fiesta Bowl year, he made a comment to us right before the first week of our first game. And he goes, you guys are as good as any team I had at Miami. And we kind of looked around and didn't really understand what he was saying. He goes, I don't know if you guys will have as much success or not. He said, but talent-wise, you have as much talent as those teams. And, you know, and it turned out to be true.
Wow, these are great stories, Marty. Things I hadn't heard, the thing about you sitting in his office and saying, hey, now we'll just go five wides and you can go home. That's funny, because when I listen back, and we've been listening back to a lot of the highlights, and we'll get to some specifics in a moment, Marty, from the 2000 season. But I hear myself say constantly when we're listening back to highlights, Beavers in double tights, give it to Simon and give it to McCall. You and Benny Johnson. So I don't know what he was thinking, if he was just trying to motivate you, as John's asking, but you guys that year ran the ball powerfully with a great offensive line, and double tights were common, right?
Yeah, they were, and Benny Johnson doesn't get enough credit. I mean, he was just a pillar, an anchor. I mean, he even played fullback sets for us that 11-1 year, the Fiesta Bowl year. You know, we couldn't close games out, you know, that 7-5 season. On there, we were in games that were one-score games that were, how did we lose that? You know, we should have just been able to close it out. But putting that two tight end, you know, bringing Cazzetto in, you know, joining the staff for that Fiesta Bowl season, bringing his counter in that he was running at Arizona State for so many years, But Benny's ability to play the fullback position, because we had no fullbacks, it was a single back offense, you know, to play two tight ends, to block the way he did, make plays on there, it made us, and it's a made a very physical, aggressive front and multiple on several things. That was probably the biggest difference, was that line and that running counter, being able to close out games by physicality on the offensive line there from the Fiesta Bowl year versus the Oahu Bowl year.
Marty Maurer with us. Marty, we had Chris Gibson on recently as part of the Fiesta Bowl flashback. He spoke of the Gov and Greg Smith. Now, I know Jim Mihalchik was your position coach, but you guys, you must have been subjected to, as all were, to Greg Smith's rhetoric and how tough he was. And so give us a little bit of a sense, not only of Greg and Dennis and Jim, and but the coaching staff and the demeanor that they carried into practices and some of the stuff that would happen in practices and all of that. And the coaches kind of seemed to let you go a little bit with some of that.
Yeah, they were. You know, a lot of the language Coach Smith used to motivate you can't be said on, public. But he did, you know, Coach Smith is a great guy. You know, Mihalchik is an incredible coach. You know, he had some things that he's taught me that I pass on to my kids and some of the teams that I've coached on where, you know, he pushed you through the week of practice and he'd tell you the night before, he'd be like, you know, you don't have to do anything special tomorrow. You don't have to be Superman. If you do what you've done all week, you'll have a great day tomorrow. You know, some of those things from Coach M is a difference. You know, it was what I needed at the time and a very good coach. On game days, he was involved in special teams. So Coach Smith kind of became my in-game coach for blocking. You know, in that Fiesta Bowl year, there's a big change that happened about third game. The first few games, Eastern Washington, New Mexico, our offense wasn't clicking. You know, we were really struggling with blitz pickups and protections, weren't giving Jonathan a lot of time. You know, Ken was getting a lot of rushes and opening holes, but we didn't have a lot of time to throw the ball, getting a lot of third and longs, a lot of penalties there. And then that third week, the tight end room started meeting with the offensive line and did it for the rest of the year. So you had Coach Mihalchik in there and Coach Smith. And that really started cleaning up some of our packages that we needed to protect, you know, blitz packages, some of the run game tweaks where we weren't quite meshing with the tackles, the tight ends weren't, you know, getting some of that cleaned up to get to the second level, pick up some of the linebackers. So, you know, Coach Smith was very, very involved. He's probably one of the best coaches I've ever been around, and Mihalchik too. I mean, Oregon State is so lucky to have two of the greatest line coaches that you've ever seen in the game. The way they teach it individually, the way they motivate you, but then also just from an X and O standpoint, those two have never put us in a position that wasn't an opportunity to be successful.
We're going to get into specifics, and John has a specific play that we all remember with great thanks. I know the Beavers were hit with a lot of penalties in 2000, and we cringed at some of them. We celebrated one. I know that. We'll talk about that in a moment. John will tee you up on that. But I did want to ask you one other thing about the current scene at Oregon State. I know that you, Chris Gibson, many other former players, T.J. Hushmanzada joined us to talk about this recently. What is your level of excitement that Jonathan, your quarterback on that team, is now the head coach? And Marty, just some of the things you're seeing with Mihalchik on the staff, with Jonathan, with Jake Kukas, just your thoughts about Beaver football heading into year three with Jonathan.
Well, it's really exciting. The roster turnover, what they've been able to do. You know, recruiting is an interesting game. Everybody ranks your stars you have coming out of high school on what you've already done. But once you get to campus, everybody goes back to a zero star. And you're ranked when you get done with your career of what you did while you're there. You know, and finding guys that fit a system, you know, they've got great tight ends. I love the fact, you know, you got, you know, Quintero, and then you got Musgrave, and you got two really good incoming, you know, tight ends that are super athletic, multiple, can block and run, those fronts. But what Mihalchik's done with the line, you know, and then, you know, Jonathan is a leader. You know, he's one of the best leaders I've ever been around. He would do some things to distract us in the huddle and in key situations, like look up in the stands and ask, you know, about somebody there. He's like, hey, who's wearing the worst outfit there, that section or this section or something? We'd be voting on it, you know, and then, oh, here's the play, you know, at a key moment. So things like that. And that was stuff that was done before, you know, you started hearing about, you know, the Montana story from the movies about John Candy and stuff in the Super Bowl. You know, Jonathan just did those things. You know, so as a leader, I have ultimate confidence in him. And I think this is going to be an exciting year for Oregon State. They got a lot. They've been through the system a few times. They got some veteran players coming back. They're getting a little older, being in the system, have a little extended time. I think they're going to surprise some people this year.
Marty, being so close, Medford, are you back often? And have you been back to, say, speak to the team or at least just kind of be around Jonathan and the program?
Yeah, every opportunity you want to support Jonathan. And he's done great reaching out to former players, having, you know, golf tournaments, having alumni things, having events where, you know, Jonathan pays out of his own pocket to rent out, you know, the players' lounge for players. And that's a huge deal, you know. And just being back around, it's really nice. You know, that's the difference in Oregon State than, you know, it was a smaller school, smaller town. Everybody knows that. But to have that connection, I mean, you got to Power Five head coach. I mean, there's only 12 of those in the conference, and he's personally reaching out to you and talking to you. You know, I'll text him here and there, and he responds right back, you know, after games and stuff. And that's really meaningful, not just as an alumni. You know, I know I played with him, but as an alumni, be able to reach out to your coach and then have him actually care, and then also sending us a newsletter, say, this is what we're working on, this is what's doing. It makes it really exciting. It makes you to feel part of a program when you don't, you know, really know personally any of the players, but you start to feel like you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I go back all the way with Mike's, got here the same year, remember every play of that year. And when I think of Marty Maurer, I think of two plays, the beginning of the year and that huge play down at Mackey Stadium, just as Mike talks about, that got the new era underway, but also the false start. Never really, I mean, if you were ever to coach youth sports, you could use that as an example of second chances, because that mistake, quote unquote, was the timing of it was perfect because it gave another opportunity for then the big run and the first down and then go on and score. What do you think about that and your place in history for that UCLA game? Because it's not bad. It's like, oh, Marty Maurer screwed up. No, Marty Maurer did something that actually saved things.
That's funny how you're doing it. You know, one of the interesting things about that is I played a lot of football at Oregon State. You know, I didn't redshirt, played right away, played for 4 years on there. And there's only two penalties I've ever been called for. I got called for a holding call at Stanford my junior year, and then I got called for that offsides, you know, in, you know, thousands and thousands of snaps.
Wow.
You know, on there. And it's interesting on that play, the DN actually, it was 3rd and 18, we were backed up, and the DN actually said hut. He called out our snap count. And I flinched when he called it out. And I'm sitting there, and as soon as I turn around, oh, crap, I start spinning around to the side judge yelling, I jumped. Hey, idiot, I jumped. He's like, I got it. Okay, good. On there. I actually didn't even know that the ball was fumbled. They recovered. I knew Jonathan got hit. I just thought it was a sack and a safety, you know, and they're calling it. The best part about that is I was just in that guy's ear the rest of the game. Hey, idiot, you just lost a game for you.
Yeah.
You know, just giving it to him, because that next thing, Coach Erickson calls a draw. I think it was Patrick. Was it Patrick?
Antonio Battle. Antonio.
Sideline. Yeah, and he slides there, right, where Erickson's, you know, working the ref for the first down call. You know, so you go from that to that draw, and then we were able to close that game out. I think a few plays later is when Patrick McCall breaks that 50-yard run up the middle. You know, so, you know, it's amazing. You know, you say luck, or you say how does that go. It's a really weird thing. You know, I had a play in that game where Jonathan threw a high pass over the middle to me, and I jumped up and got hit in the stomach, and the ball pops out and lands in Prescott's hand, and he goes 50 yards for a touchdown. And it's one of those where you're going, finally, the ball's bouncing our way. You know, we get a few breaks. I mean, you're on the road, and, you know, everybody knows that you're having a good season. You're ranked higher than UCLA, but that's a good opponent, and you need some of those breaks and some of those games to kind of go your way for the season to keep moving along.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here, but you were really on the spot on that, and I don't know, you probably didn't get any credit for that from coaching, that you kind of saved it by forcing that issue once the DN did that and making all that noise towards the side judge. I mean, you're giving us some nuggets here that we'd never heard before, and that's a good one, that you worked it to get that flag.
No, I've been yelling at refs my whole life, you know. Yeah, I've never met a good one, so you know, at all. So that's a commonplace. This is just the time I actually was yelling at something that actually was probably warranted.
Well, I didn't know that part of the story either until now. I really appreciate you sharing it. I remember, I thought, oh my gosh, disaster, ball's loose, UCLA recovers. Wait, whoa, there's a flag, false start, next play, the draw. Couple of plays later, McCall to the house, you beat UCLA. And you're right about the other. Prescott wasn't where he was supposed to be, according to Jonathan, and that's why he was in the vicinity with you when you got hit. Robert ran the wrong route, and the ball popped into his arms, and he scores. So to go 11-1, right, Marty, you caught a break or two, particularly in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the fact of that, I mean, I was talking to Gibson the other day after he was on. He called me in there, and I said, can I ask you a question? Our offense, we started all 11. Everybody started all 12 games, right? That's what we were talking about across. And we weren't sure about the receivers and such, but we do know across the offensive line. I mean, from the tight end to there, the seven-man front of, you know, myself, Benny Johnson, Vinny Sandoval, Gibson, you know, Cornell, Robert Sykes, Mitch White, you know, started every game that year.
Yeah.
And, you know, to not go through that and have any disruption, you know, or have any injuries, and we were all injured, you know, playing through that stuff. But that's a huge thing to not have to have other people coming in there and play every snap.
Marty, it's been great to catch up with you. So many other things we could have touched on, but thanks for making time for us today on the Joe Beaver Show. We appreciate it. Hope we can stay in touch as the years go along. But thank you for what you and the guys did 20 years ago that still brings so much joy to all of us in Beaver Nation. We appreciate your time, Marty.
Thanks, Mike, and go Beavs.
Well, that'll wrap things up on this edition of the On Point Community Credit Union Fiesta Bowl Flashback Podcast. I'm John Warren with Mike Parker. Special thanks to our Fiesta Bowl Flashback Edition podcast partner, the Oregon State eCampus. The world has shifted towards online education, and no one does it better than Oregon State eCampus. You can choose from more than 75 programs and earn your degree online from a nationally ranked leader in the industry. Learn more today at ecampus.oregonstate.edu. And don't forget, Beaver fans, Facebook Live Chew on This program. Head to the Beaver Athletic Facebook page and find the new live show that's aired and produced each Monday. You'll have the ability to question weekly guests as we bring on current and former OSU coaches and players to dive into the Fiesta Bowl throwback, along with exclusive content and fun segments. So all you can, hear what's going on with OSU Athletics, the Fiesta Bowl season, and just get to know the guests a little better. Check out the show on Beaver Athletics Facebook page. Also, please join us live each Monday via Facebook Live. Until next week, again, Fiesta Bowl Flashback, the podcast brought to you by On Point Community Credit Union. For Mike Parker, I'm John Warren.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast Fiesta Bowl Flashback Edition, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.